welcome to the very first episode of the Torqued Podcast. I'm Eric Droulard, Development Director for Vehicle, and your co-host for today's show.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Margaret Tavares. I'm a junior developer and co-op student at Vehicle, and I will be the second half of your co-hosting team.
We're working on some really exciting topics and special guests in the near future. The goal of the podcast here is to feature conversations with industry professionals. We want to bring you views we find interesting and insightful into the world of technology and software development.
React and Vue in a Laravel world. Front-end frameworks have been a popular topic that come up a lot in conversations with clients and the industry at large.
Our very first guests to the show have been deeply involved in the web development community and have almost two decades of experience between them building web applications on a variety of tech stacks.
Jesse O'Brien is a senior developer at Vehicle, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jesse O'Brien, and that's all one word with an underscore at the end. Dan Sapelza is a full-stack developer, also at Vehicle, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dan Sapelza. You can find all this information in our show notes.
So let's jump right into the conversation with Jesse and Dan talking about React and Vue. We'll start off with some backstory on Jesse.
Yeah, so what got me to where I am today, mostly getting involved with community. I started out not really knowing anything, got myself into college not really knowing anything, and from there got myself into a co-op at a hospital, actually. Mm-hmm. Spent some time messing around there with different frameworks. Started with CodeIgniter. Moved off of CodeIgniter onto a framework called FuelPHP, which is what I see as sort of the two parents of Laravel, actually. And as soon as FuelPHP kind of met its end, I switched over to the Laravel community. And in between now and then was tons of awesome stuff, different Laracons, different venues, different people.
What time frame did you get involved with those initial frameworks? Was it like 2010, 2009?
Earlier than that, yeah, 2009, 10-ish would be close. Those things carried me well into the web world. Formerly in college, I did a lot of C++ and some C# and Java and stuff like that. Getting into the web world sort of led me more and more into the jQuery side of things, and then as Laravel matured, so popped up Angular and those types of things. A lot of the early days were spent trying to hack things like Backbone, Marionette, and things like that into Laravel as well, which turned out okay sometimes and then terrible other times. But it was better than jQuery at the time. And then again, Angular sort of improved on that stuff as well. And so since the early days of Angular, I've been involved with that, did about a year or two of development with that, and have since kind of shuddered on Angular big time since React came out. So I haven't done a lot with Vue. I've done sort of the tutorials and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. But I've been really heavy into Angular the past year and a half. React into the last year and a half.
Right. Dan, how about yourself?
In terms of my web development experience, started off working in sort of like a digital media environment, where we performed a number of client services in kind of the digital media realm, including web development, and that most often meant the creation of custom content management themes, most often on WordPress, and basically, my task being taking a static design and kind of bringing that to life on the web, right? Mm-hmm. And as that grew and kind of responsive design became a thing, I definitely had a lot of chance to kind of hone my skills in the front end, in HTML and CSS and some JavaScript. And then from time to time, it definitely, those projects would call for something that was a little more JavaScript heavy, right? Often you'd have a form of some kind, some sort of registration form, maybe with some dynamic elements to it. And I think much like Jesse, I've kind of lived that, like a lot of us have lived that kind of jQuery callback hell. When you get something more than something trivial, it becomes comes a lot to manage when you're writing code to basically do two things: to manage, to control or track your state, as well as to control your UI as well, right? And that's really kind of that experience. And then working at Vehicle for the last couple of years, and more kind of the web application stack, has what's led me to more experience with JavaScript frameworks. Probably the first one that I kind of saw and used extensively was Angular, and certainly coming from a JavaScript background, I think a jQuery background, moving to any kind of data binding framework, once you kind of wrap your head around that way of thinking, there's a lot of really niceties that come with it, and your kind of your development, I think, becomes more enjoyable, and being able to maintain that application becomes more enjoyable as well. More recently, I've most experience with Vue, and certainly the bulk of my experience with Vue has been using it almost as a jQuery replacement quite often. You know, dropping it in on one single page to sort of either straight up replace jQuery or take the place of what I might have reached for jQuery in the past to do, often some sort of user interface that has kind of like dynamic elements to it.
So knowing that the two of you have both previously worked with Angular as your background, do you think that definitely made the learning curve a lot less steep when you were learning Vue and React?
Yeah, I certainly I can speak to it from your Vue has taken a lot of inspiration, kind of built itself on top of things like Angular. Certainly has more recently derived a lot of inspiration from React as well. So yeah, having that Angular experience and kind of the Angular way of doing things, I found transitioning to Vue pretty easy.
Yeah, in terms of the learning curve, you made a really good point about sort of getting into the data binding type things, right? I think like React and Vue kind of spawned at about the same time. And that time for me was when I was hitting the end limits of what I could do with Angular. So I found that, working with directives and what eventually turned everyone into web components, and not necessarily the type of web components that you'd find in Polymer, but, the idea of having a component-based structure or architecture was sort of when Vue and React were born, is exactly like, when you start to hit those limits of data binding and what you can do, you have to push outwards, and that's what they've done. So,
oh, very cool.
So one of the things that, we could get into the meat of it, one of the things that I run into a lot talking to customers, especially setting up a project, they always wonder like what front-end framework they should use for their application. And there's a lot of hype around both frameworks. The Laravel community is very involved with the creator of Vue, and Evan Yu obviously does a lot of talks at all the conferences that are involved, and he quite often is a sponsor of the conferences and makes a big presence in the Laravel community especially. But I know that for our firm, we see a lot of projects where the distribution is very heavily slanted towards React. What, maybe Jesse, you can start us off. What, in your view, is the reason for that? Like, why people prefer to use React?
The number one draw is always what's Facebook using, right? Everybody's always trying to be Facebook or wants to use the same technology in that as they do. So I think that's often, especially when you're looking at some of the people that are making decisions on these tech stacks, they're not always engineers, right? Some of them are CIOs, CTOs, those types of people who, it's top of mind. It's oh, I saw there was a React conference last month, so that's probably the new thing we should do, right? Facebook's invested and so should we. But I think from an engineering standpoint, I'm invested or I try to make that decision for our clients from the basis of sort of looking at React and Vue as being like framework versus library in most senses of the words, but as well sort of customized versus prefab. I look at Vue as something that is mostly into that prefab type environment where you can use it to sort of get super custom if you need to. But React certainly has a lot more flexibility in that sense, in that terminology. And I think that's where the bulk of our vehicle clients are. They're people that are coming to us because Drupal didn't work out, or WordPress is not going to work for them, or Shopify, or whatever off-the-shelf solution for them doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We're there to supplement for that. That's not to say that we can't do it with Vue either. I mean, these guys on other projects are doing a fabulous job with it. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things that really at the end of the day, for the 99% case, does not matter, right? Like, you could use a well-structured application built in Vue or in React, and from a user standpoint, I don't think you're going to notice a big difference, right? So,
right.
Certainly, if a client came to me with that with that kind of request. It would be like any case where a client was coming to you with sort of an implementation or a solution in mind already. I would want to just kind of back that up a bit and just kind of like ask where their motivation is for using that technology. And I think most often that discussion is going to lead to a place where the client doesn't necessarily have a strong technical reason for wanting to do that. Right? It might be something like they've heard about that. They know someone that. Has had something built on top of React, and they've heard that Facebook uses it, and a lot of people are you know, think highly of their own product and think, you know, they're going to get to that level and they're going to need that at some point, right? But at the end of the day, it's all about just, you know, kind of solving their problems. And I think either is a suitable solution to solve, you know, again, 99% of the problems that you're going to face on a given web application.
Yeah, and I think to that extent, what I've seen a lot, or I guess the recommendations that I make for our clients is typically, and this is a problem that I had with Angular as well, is that to be able to learn the framework is sort of the important part, right? If we're going to be writing code for our clients and handing this off at the end of the project, what amount of work did they need to do to get themselves ramped into learning the stack that we're building it in, right? And exactly like Dan said, like some of our clients come to us and they're like, hey, we have a bunch of people on our staff who already know Vue, and we want you guys to help us launch a new product who, you know, written in Vue as well. Can you do it? And we definitely say yes to those. We've also had people come and say, hey, we have a bunch of guys who know JavaScript, right? They've written some Node or are familiar with JavaScript syntax. What would you recommend? And in that case, when it is just the pure JavaScript side of things, I would point them more towards React, simply because it is based in a more pure JavaScript type environment when you're writing the code.
So looking at beginner's point of view, learning these two languages, do you feel like this is something that's going to be very powerful or useful for them, learning it right off the bat, right after school, or do you think they need to start with something first in order to understand that framework and then apply it to the new Vue and React that they've never touched before?
Yeah, so I think the one minor correction there is that they're not languages, they are frameworks and libraries.
I mean, I'm a student too, I'm learning all these things, right?
Absolutely. I think that's where you do get into the more personal side of things. And that distinction does become quite a personal one for a lot of people. There's a lot of people who advocate completely for frameworks and totally against libraries. And there's a lot of people who advocate for libraries only, never touch a framework. And there's a lot of people who are off on their, I wouldn't say a lot, sorry, but there are some people who are off on their own who say, you know, if I didn't write it, I'm not putting that into production, which is totally up to them as well. In terms of beginners though, I think you always want to have a firm grasp of the language that you're working with first, before you say, hey, I need a framework, or hey, I need a library. You should have a comfort level that's medium to high with what you're trying to accomplish with the library you're trying to use. So if you're sitting around and you're going like, hey, I have a form that's written in HTML. Somebody told me that I should be using data binding. That's a good point to stop and recognize that you probably don't know what data binding is, and you should probably look into figuring out, okay, well, the end goal I want to do is take that form data and put it to a web server, right? In between then and there, there's a bunch of us who have gotten past that part and understand that, yeah, there's a better way of doing that called data binding. And whether it's two-way, whether it's one-way, whatever, there's a lot of nuance you can get into. But from a beginner standpoint, try not to jump in and just kind of go, oh, data binding, I heard that's a good thing, let's go for it. And in terms of Vue versus Laravel, I think if you haven't done a lot of JavaScript or you aren't completely familiar, maybe not completely, but if you're not familiar with the new ES2015 or ES6 syntax, Vue's going to be a lot easier for you to pick up simply because the documentation is a little better. And to that effect, you're learning like the actual DSL of Vue rather than having to learn JavaScript as a language to pick up all of React. So that's sort of where I sit on it.
Oh, that's great. Dan, what's your viewpoint on that?
Yeah, so I've actually a number of times I've taught a class at a local community college here, which is sort of like an introduction to web development. It's kind of how I kind of phrase it to everybody. And really specifically looking client-side technologies, HTML, CSS, and a little bit of JavaScript towards the end of the course. And the progression that I like to, you know, kind of hopefully lead my students through is first introducing HTML as, you know, here's the thing we use to kind of describe to the machine the content that's on the page. And then we introduce the CSS layer. It was like, hey, let's take that content now and add some presentation to it. And then when I introduce JavaScript on a fundamental level, I try to introduce it as like, here's a tool that you can use to manipulate, you know, that style and that content that markup after the page is loaded or based on user interactions and things like that. So I like to introduce JavaScript initially as using just bare bones vanilla JS, and let's do some basic things like grabbing a DOM element and seeing how we can dynamically change an attribute on that, things like that, and kind of get them comfortable with kind of what's going on there at sort of the bare bones level from a JavaScript standpoint, and then kind of lead them into something like jQuery, which I think is a pretty natural transition for a lot of people, and kind of see what jQuery can do. But I think they then already have a bit of understanding of kind of what's going on under the hood, and jQuery is then a little less magic for them. And then maybe have them even experiment with jQuery a little bit and try to do some dynamic things with jQuery and kind of like, experience that a little bit. And then, at some point after that, and it's different for every student, a lot of times it depends on sort of their history with programming in general and how comfortable they are with programming. But then at some point then, try to introduce them to the concept of data binding and really kind of let's back it off and not so much think about the code that's going to, manipulate the user interface. Let's just think about the data that's going to drive this interface and then think about how to kind of bind that to the user interface, and then let the framework, the library, kind of take care of that element from there.
So here's a question. At what point do we stop teaching people jQuery as a precursor to learning the deeper elements there?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, is there a runoff period that jQuery, is there a...
Definitely, I think probably less people are finding or maybe living that progression that I just described than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, jQuery has its place. It's really easy to do some things, especially when there's a jQuery plugin and you're building sort of like a marketing type website and you want some big, carousel slider or something like that. Like, there's nothing easier than pulling in a jQuery plugin for that. But I think that is a good point. Yeah, like I think for some people, if they're maybe more working towards in kind of the web application stack as a, opposed to those kind of like marketing brochure style websites that more often might call for jQuery, then yeah, I think maybe at some point like that jQuery progression can kind of be taken out of there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not a knock against jQuery. It's just thinking about...
It's another tool.
If Vue and React are getting easy enough to use, or the interface is easy enough to use, like you mentioned it too, you're mm-hmm. kind of using Vue in that instance of like jQuery. When and where is the time when those of us who are teaching other people say, I think according to us, it's maybe time to sort of skip that jQuery step. And if you need a use case, or if you find a use case for jQuery, you'll find it on your own.
Yeah.
But otherwise, this is how modern web stack data binding looks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a curious thing.
Right, so I liked how you guys both kind of recommended for beginners to start with JavaScript, really get comfortable with the language, and then dip your toe into frameworks. What would you both kind of maybe take turns recommending in terms of where to start with that? I know that there is a significant amount of documentation for both frameworks. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of tutorials out there. But if you, say, wanted to start picking these up quickly and, start to rank up as a developer, where would you start?
I can speak to the Vue documentation's very good, very thorough. I'm sure the React documentation is as well, has a huge community around it. I think for both of them, for certainly kind of like a dip your toe in the water sort of intro, especially if you're into to watching screencasts, the Laracast website has some really good intro series, I believe, on both Vue and React. So those are probably a few places I'd turn people initially.
Yeah, surprisingly, a lot of people do say that the React documentation is not that good, which is interesting. And I think that's another point that I want to talk about. We can maybe talk about it now or later. That is, I see a lot of, especially with Angular, it started with Angular and it continues with Vue, is that those type of frameworks really, because of the DSL they use and the data binding they use inside of HTML, they do attract the crowd that's coming from sort of the designer, not actually full-time programmer type of crowd, which is awesome because, pulling those people into learning code is always better. And so you find that the documentation is actually better for those frameworks, where the expectation is not that you are a full-time 9-to-5 programmer. The expectation is that, hey, you're working in the web, in the DOM, doing CSS or something, and you just want to achieve some kind of end goal, right? Which is actually pretty cool. So that's kind of a knock against React that I've heard from a lot of people. For me, I find it okay, but again, I'm talking from a fairly experienced point of view. So starting with React, I like, you know, Laracast recommend. Jeffrey Wade does a great job sort of dipping into some of that stuff. Egghead.io is also a really, really good resource for that. You're learning from guys like Dan Abramov, who's written a ton of, you know, pieces of Redux. He was one of the people on the team for the new React Fiber architecture. The guy knows everything inside and out. And he spends a lot of time on Twitter engaging with people, getting feedback, and just making things generally better. And to that effect, I guess jumping on Twitter is always a good way to learn things too. That was sort of... I would not have this job if not for Twitter. I wouldn't have had my last job if not for Twitter. So it's one of those things where Twitter is a really valuable resource too. Even, you know, when you're just, even if you're not looking for a job, if you're just trying to learn stuff, because jumping into that ecosystem, it enables you to ask questions like almost in a live environment. Most of us will answer on Twitter within an hour or two, and if it's not an hour, then it's the next day. So, which is actually really cool. And I guess sort of to finish off that point, you can also talk to the people who are writing these frameworks. You know, I've engaged in conversation on Twitter with Dan Abramov. You know, and I don't think that previously, you know, the programmers of the 1990s would have killed for that ability, you know, at the time. So,
take them a letter.
Yeah.
Send it in the mail.
Post it on the BBS and hope for a response.
I really like the way that you brought up Twitter at the end there and interacting with some of the creators and contributors to these, you know, technologies. It kind of ties into another question that I was thinking of while you were speaking, Jesse, about where you think the technologies are headed. You mentioned React Fiber there. I think that just was launched at the most recent React conference a couple of months ago.
Yep.
I'm not sure if Vue or Evan.U has made any sort of new announcements in recent times, but I guess, Dan, if you want to start us off, like where you think you see the framework going, whether or not you think it's going to gain in popularity or it's going to sort of fall off and other things will overtake it. I know there's always that sense of the three main JavaScript frameworks that, you know, we use and see in day-to-day here at Vehicle, that being Angular, React, and Vue, of course. But in the battle of the three, I guess, where do you see Vue really making its mark?
Yeah, I don't know that it's a battle, or I don't think it's, you know, a case of, you know, for one to win, others have to lose or anything like that. Long term, I guess I don't really have a good answer. I don't really know what the viewpoint is or the outlook is for the framework going forward. But anyway, I think maybe that kind of like ties back to our discussion, our client discussion, right? Is that's always an issue with working in open source, right? And using an open source library is, how long is this thing going to be alive for? How long is it going to be supported for, right?
Yeah, that's a big issue.
So that's definitely a discussion, I think, that comes up with clients as well, right? For motivation, right? I'd say of the two, definitely React has the larger community around it at this point. So certainly that's kind of one thing that you could point to people like, hey, this could be a longer lasting thing.
Yeah, I think when you look at the maturity of everything around all three of those, I mean, in my opinion, of the big three, I think Angular has misstepped the most in the last 2 years. I mean, the rise and fall of Angular is the way that I see it. Not a single one of our clients has come to us, asked for anything Angular related in at least a year. And that speaks volumes to what they've done and what they haven't done. Their dependence on TypeScript is also another big thing. You're looking at it kind of like I was talking about before, right? When you're taking some people from the design crowd, people who aren't 9-to-5 programmers, and tossing them into a JavaScript framework, and then asking them to add type coercion to everything, you know, that's just adding salt to the wound.
Maybe for some of our more design-focused listeners, you could explain a little bit and expand on what TypeScript is.
Yeah, so TypeScript is the idea of adding primitive type checks to all of your method calls, your function calls, any of your class properties and things like that. So instead of just being able to pass, say, you know, variable name to set name, you'd have to call or change the method signature functionally in the code to say, you know, public function set name with a name variable and then the string type after it. And then you're also going to have to specify a return type for that method, which in that case is probably void. But TypeScript compiler, I think the recommended settings, which is like the basic, if you just install it and it's at recommended, I think it still does require return type sets. So yeah, that's interesting in terms of, you know, gaining traction there. In terms of Vue versus React, I think both of them need to coexist. I think there's an importance for both of them to be around. Like I said, looking at prefab versus custom, I think, you know, if you look across the population, you're going to even out almost entirely on both of them. You know, some people are going to use Vue, some people are going to use React. And again, it's, you know, it's... I don't know that, again, like you said, I don't know that one needs to lose for the others to win, but I don't see Angular winning anything right now. Throughout the industry, I haven't seen a whole lot, so...
Okay. Maybe we can transition a little bit into a bit of your own experience with either framework. Jesse, maybe if you want to give us a sense of some of the apps you've developed using React recently.
Yeah, so... Recently working on an app with WeWork, which was really, really good, to sort of develop an internal app for them using React. I can't go into large amount of detail, but the stuff that I really, really liked about React was the speed at which I could get something just out the door and working. Mm-hmm. That kind of was after a bunch of experience built up, fighting with React, learning React, and all this other stuff. This was the first time I could just basically start fresh, brand new React app, already had the experience, and so I could just go. So the projects before that were kind of me picking up React, learning the ecosystem, you know, Googling around for errors and hours of Stack Overflow and stuff like that. But this one was really, really nice. And part of that was also being able to pull Redux in and have that configured and stuff like that really quickly. Being able to get Redux working, like I said, and having all of the data binding sort of work properly, and also being in the mindset of not having two-way data binding and being in the mindset of like the functional type programming where your state is constantly moving forward. You're never trying to have a parallel state. You're always trying to have a forward-looking state where it doesn't matter what action happens, whether it's a delete or a remove or a create or whatever, you're always moving forward. Like I said before, tying back to Egghead and those types of tutorial sites, those helped a lot get into that mindset. But yeah, getting all that set up, and getting going with React is so fast. It's insanely fast now.
So. And Dan, what about you for developing applications? How has Vue and React been a lot easier for you making applications?
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, my experience on the React side has been, I think, you know, maybe akin to Jesse's on the Vue side, just sort of like very elementary and sort of introductory. On the Vue side, definitely, like I said, the thing I've used, I really haven't gone the route to this point of building out a true full page, you know, single page application. But what I've used it most for is either a straight up replacement for jQuery or like I said earlier, you know, something that in the past I would have reached for jQuery 4, right? So my work at Vehicle, for instance, the last, you know, maybe 6 months or so, a bulk of my time has been spent on the client project I'm working on an administration application for sort of like a customer service department within their organization, and basically kind of modernizing what they had and trying to kind of clean up some legacy code and that sort of thing. And there was a lot of that jQuery hell I was talking about in there, and you know, callbacks within callbacks, and you know, you probably all seen those scripts before, right? It starts off with there's like a whole bunch of like, okay, I got to grab all these elements out of the DOM so I can keep track of these things. And then, you know, you've got, you know, a bunch of event, you know, listeners set up so that, you know, when something happens, then there's code in there that's going to, you know, go through and update the UI as well as, you know, maybe make the call to the server. And it gets on really, really quickly. So, you know, Vue has been a really nice tool and you know, much like React, sounds like, you know, really easy to get up and running. You know, there's been times I've literally just, you know, hot linked to it. From a CDN, and then just, you know, open up a new script tag and new view, and away you go. So certainly my client work and among other places, it's been a really nice replacement to kind of clean up that jQuery mess and just kind of, you know, from a development standpoint, bring some sanity to that code base.
Have you used Vuex at all?
I haven't looked at Vuex yet. No.
Okay. Yeah, that's something I sort of love to comment on these days with React and Vue even, mm-hmm. because, you know, Vuex exists. You can even strap Redux into Vue. But the idea of centralized state in JavaScript applications makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, the larger your application gets, the more mangly your state seems to get. and that's sort of you saying the callback hell in jQuery just reminded me of that, you know. Because even in Angular, the way that we were writing Angular was the idea that you have, you know, the true full MVC you know, you have your controller and your service layer and your API layer, and all these calls are going through, and you know, you're kind of manipulating one thing over here and another thing over there. And what Vuex and Redux, or the mindset of Redux, sort of implanted in everyone was, hey, let's have a shared centralized state between all of our API calls so that we're not trying to manipulate a customer separate from an order, separate from this thing, separate from that. And I think that adds a lot of power and simplicity. Even people I know that are kind of off the framework thing and kind of indifferent to React or Vue or Angular have looked at Redux and said, yeah, that's the right way to be doing things.
Is that something in your experience, would you reach for that right off the bat, or is that something that you reach for once you kind of get to a point where like the complexity increases to a point where that state management's needed? What's your experience with that?
I think if you're not familiar with it, then don't reach for it off the bat.
Yeah.
But I'm familiar with it enough now that I can just strap it in and go.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it adds so much less complexity to my apps. Because the idea, right, is that there's an application state. Your application may be worried about ferrying data back and forth for customers or for whatever you have. And then your component state can be worried about specifically, say, validating maybe like a phone number field on your customer, right? And you can very cleanly separate those two things without conflating them. And so I've found that, for me, definitely like strap in and go right from the beginning. But again, for brand new people, don't try that. Don't try this at home. Once you get some comfort with even just understanding normal state with components, it's one of those blow your mind type fundamental things that changes within you, I guess, when you start to realize that you don't have to worry about having seven different components state in your head while you're trying to work between all of them. You can just have one.
So that's where we'll leave this first episode, a little taste of what's to come. A big thank you goes out to our first guests, Jesse and Dan. We hope you enjoyed hearing about their viewpoints on React and Vue. Thank you so much, Jesse. How can our listeners reach you if they have any more questions?
I'm on Twitter at Jesse O'Brien with an underscore on the end. GitHub is at Jesse O'Brien as well.
And thanks so much, Dan. How can our listeners reach you?
Thanks for having me. It was great to be a part of the Kickoff podcast. My Twitter and GitHub handle is at Dan Sapelsa.
If you like what you hear, you can learn more about our shop by visiting Vuecle online at vuecle.com or follow us on Twitter at Vuecle.
Vuecle is a software consultancy that offers expertise in software development services, specializing in the Laravel PHP framework, user experience design, Angular, React, and Vue JavaScript frameworks.
If you'd like to join in on the conversation, participate in a future interview, or have general questions, or have some feedback for us, we would love to hear from you. So please drop us a line via email at go@vuecle.com or tweet us at Vuecle.
If you enjoyed our pilot episode of Torqued, we would love if you could take a moment to review the show in the iTunes store or on your favorite podcast platform. The reviews help us gain visibility and improve the show for future episodes. Well, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in. As your hosts, Eric and Margaret, we hope you all had a great time listening, and make sure to tune in to our next episode of Torqued. Happy coding.
See you next time.